Malta, a maritime nation at the heart of the Mediterranean. For centuries, a bridge between Europe, Africa, and Asia. A reputable pioneer in global shipping and maritime services. Malta's Ship Registry, Europe's largest register. Sixth in the world. Malta is a trusted global maritime hub where compliance, safety, and efficiency converge. Malta upholds the highest standards in maritime safety and security. From rigorous inspections to complete digital systems, the Malta Ship Registry ensures compliance and trust. Malta is driving digital transformation across the maritime industry. Ship certification is now fully electronic, building on the digitalization of seafarer documentation. We also believe in a diverse maritime sector, most notably empowering more women in shipping and invest in training and skills for a new generation of maritime professionals. Malta's influence reaches far beyond its shores. As a home to key IMO institutions and a leading voice in international maritime law, we strive for more cooperation, innovation, and progress. Digitally driven, environmentally committed, and ready for what's ahead. This is Malta, Europe's ship registry. Globally trusted.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to us once again. This is another episode of Maritime Legal. And today I have Dr. Lorna Mipsukakia, Managing Partner at Dingley and Dingley Law Firm and Head of the Litigation Department, and Dr. Marcus DeGiorgio, who is a Senior Associate in the Dingley and Dingley Law Firm's Litigation Department.
Hi, Rida.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks.
Glad to be here again.
Same
Thank
here.
You so much for your invitation to us. So I'm very proud to have my colleague with me as well, who will also take us on a journey around the criminal law world, so to say.
Yes.
But last time we were talking about clarity. And I always say that clarity breeds safety and peace of mind. We are coming across in our practice the custom of having, for example, two employment agreements, two SCAs. We cannot advise enough against having two SCAs. It is very dangerous because, first of all, you are having a sham relationship, which, first of all, let's go a step back, because we take it for granted that people know what a contract does. An employment agreement, much like any other agreement, is, or rather sets, the force of law between the parties. And according, for example, to Maltese law, but it's the same, most systems in the world, if not all, an agreement crystallizes the verbal agreement between the parties in writing, and even more importantly, it acquires the force of law between the parties. So when we say it acquires the force of law, it means that parties have mutually rights and obligations against and in favor one another. Therefore, if I have two SCAs, two agreements, it means that I have two laws regulating the relationship between the two sides. And that's dangerous, because the real test, the proof of the pudding, now that we're also close to Christmas, the proof of the pudding of also contracts, if we were to come to litigation, which one will be applicable? Litigation, as I always say, is the magnifying glass of all the elements of the relationship. When you're in court and you have to take that contract to court, you will look at the agreement from a magnifying glass, which means that all the issues with the contract will be magnified 100 times over. And many times we find that the parties enter into such agreements and they have two agreements simply because one they want to show to the authorities and the other one, which is the real, so to say, agreement. But in that case, both agreements would appear to be simulated, in which case you find yourself having many times an annullable at best agreement, so you have to be very careful. And our advice is both to yacht owners, but also to seafarers, not to accept or not to get involved in a situation whereby the relationship between employer and employee, between yacht owner and seafarer, is governed by two agreements. We also hear on social media and on the internet a lot of relationship red flags. I like to dwell on this a little bit. An employment relationship, a seafarer and yacht owner relationship, is pretty much like any other relationship. Why? Because the foundations of any relationship are trust, openness, transparency, and so on. It's the same in an employment-employee relationship. The only difference, of course, is the level of intimacy between an employee and an employer, obviously. But if we are talking about trust, if we are talking about good faith, if we are talking about working for the good of the other, all relationships are based on these premises. So if we are looking at a relationship red flag in a personal relationship, there are also employment red flags being, for example, a breach of trust between the yacht owner and seafarer. It works both ways, because the seafarer may lose trust in the employer, but the employer may lose trust in the seafarer. And what brings about normally the erosion of trust? It can be a host of things, but we'll mention a few also for the sake of today's discussion. You can have harassment. We hear a lot about harassment and sexual harassment on board the yacht, very common. You can have violence, you can have aggression, you can have addiction problems, which may escalate into aggression or violence on board the yacht. And as I always tell also our team when we are advising on these issues, you have to remember that on board the yacht, everything is also magnified because you are out at sea. Perhaps it's a confined space and you don't have the luxury of a huge building. So everything gets magnified. Even fear is magnified then. Even risk is magnified on board the vessel, which is on the board the yacht also. And of course, the law recognizes that this, with all the protection, it tries also to afford seafarers. So when we are talking about also red flags in employment, I would advise both the employers, the yacht owners, and the seafarers to be very careful and aware of all the risks, the legal risks before the physical and personal risks, which one may encounter. And now I will gladly give the floor to my colleague Marcus, who will also speak about the criminal element of all this, because harassment is a crime. Sexual harassment is also a crime. Aggression, violence, fraud, misappropriation. You can have all these instances. We've had cases of misappropriation by the seafarer to the detriment of the yacht owner, who used the funds which the yacht owner gave to the seafarer to manage and, to use on board the yacht during, for example, a charter. These were mismanaged and misappropriated to the detriment also of the yacht owner himself. So here we are veering into dangerous criminal territory. And this is where my colleague Marcus can come in to also give us more information on the criminal law aspect of a seafarer's relationship with the employer and vice versa.
Thank you, Lorna. What I really would like to ask Marcus, and I'm sure listeners are interested to know, is does it make a difference whether the vessel you are working on flies a particular flag?
Yes.
Does flying the Malta flag, for example, a reputable flag state, does that make a difference if a crime is committed within the waters of a coastal state, which is not the flag state? Could you shed some light from a Maltese law point of view to give Malta as an example?
Yes, 100%. So it makes a major difference. Basically, the rule is that it is the law of the flag state which would apply on the vessel. However, when you have a vessel which is in internal waters of a particular state, that particular state can take action. But the problem arises as to whether that coastal state will actually take action.
Yes.
So the issue is that if it does not, where to resort to, where to go? Our criminal code provides for these situations, and it provides that Maltese courts have jurisdiction over Malta-flagged vessels anywhere they are in the world. So if there is a seafarer who is in a particular situation on board a vessel in other waters in the high seas, it could be in Malta seas, it could be in other coastal states, seas, territorial, internal, and contiguous zones, whereby if no action is taken by any other state, if it is a Malta flagged vessel, they can resort to remedy in Malta as well, and they can make a report to the executive police in Malta, who will have, and the courts in Malta, who will have jurisdiction to hear the case in Malta. So that is why it is extremely important to have a reputable flagged vessel, for the simple reason that should the authorities of an internal a coastal state does not take action, yes, in that particular situation, then they can always resort to the flagged state, which in Malta's case would take the case very seriously. So it makes a major difference where it is registered.
Yes. I must also add, in addition to what my Marcus is saying, that our Malta flag has also a service, a 24/7 service, to support all those crew members who may have issues with anything on board the yacht, for example, if, you know, if they're being harassed or any type of problem, and they can write to an email, which is manned, you know, it's not like you're not sending it into a message in a bottle, you know, with nobody to get that message in a bottle. We have the Malta flag has the option, the facility that people can write to this email address to their grievance.
Yes.
For a remedy to be given.
And what is important is that whoever is making that complaint accepts that the flag will be able to divulge the contract with the owner or the consent party, and is ready to divulge the grievances too, because it's not a matter only of complaining, but having, once you are in communication with flag, you need to be ready to share all information, even if there's a case of two contracts.
Precisely.
And that is what is important. So we've heard about the two contracts you mentioned before. If you are going to report the flag, you need to be entirely honest, clear, and give the flag the full picture. So there is the facility to complain, but one must also understand that complaining to flag requires you to be 100% honest.
Precisely.
And one further point that I wish to add, Jessica, even the protection is also granted even with regards to yacht owners. Why? Should a particular offense take place on board their Malta registered flag, they can also have the peace of mind of an EU state's jurisdiction and a very well established jurisdiction taking care of the particular offense that would have, and prosecuting the particular offense that would have taken place on board their vessel. So they would also, at the back of their mind, have kind of, they would be at ease.
Comfort.
The comfort, yes, of knowing that should any particular offense take place on board their vessel, that they could also resort to Maltese jurisdiction.
Interesting. Which is important. And this awareness is critical.
Yes.
Because we find that people overlook the criminal law side of things. And yet, criminal law is there also to provide comfort and peace of mind and safety, even to your owners, particularly to your owners, because they know that if it were marketed well also with their stuff, they can also use that as a deterrent against the commission of crimes,
exactly,
on board their yachts. And having, therefore, a flag state such as Malta, guaranteeing that should anything happen on board of that flagged vessel, on that flagged yacht, there is a whole system backing the yacht owner. Think of what great safety net and peace of mind the yacht owner can enjoy whilst he's enjoying his yacht.
Yes.
So this is the beauty of registering one's yacht with a reputable state such as Malta, because you have the peace of mind and safety of knowing that you have a system backing you and your endeavors with your yacht. And that is why that clarity, even in the agreements, and the clarity and awareness, both in amongst yacht owners and employees and seafarers, is critical, because like that, all the individuals on board the yacht can have the peace of mind of knowing that, no, even if they are out at sea, they are not alone.
So, so important. Thank you, Lorna, and thank you, Marcus.
You're very welcome.
It was really a pleasure to listen to you and to shed light on these very important facts, which not many know. We take them for granted after
that.
So thank you so much. And I thank always the Marin for this wonderful Marina de Valletta, which is our location for filming every podcast. And I'm grateful to Samizu Restaurant for hosting us every podcast, and also for the support of the Malta Ship Registry. Thank you again, Lorna, and thanks.
Sarah, pleasure. Thank you, Werner.
Thank you for listening.